Saturday, May 4th in Chicago, check out our Jealousy Show. Storytelling, panel Q&A, interviews, and more. Sponsored by Rowan Tree Counseling. Get your tickets at wildandsublime.com or go to the link in the show notes. See you there.
What's something to know? I pull this card. Okay, this card is about, you know, hurt or pain or something, you know, and then I might write about, okay, what comes up for me in relation to this. So in that way, it's that sort of self-reflection as like a tool or a prompt.
Welcome to Wild and Sublime, a sexy spin on infotainment, no matter your preferences, orientation, or relationship style. Based on the popular live Chicago show, I chat about sex and relationships with citizens from the world of sex positivity and comedy. You'll hear meaningful conversations, dialogues that go deeper, and information that can help you become more free in your sexual expression. I'm sex educator Karen Yates. Our monthly Patreon supporters pay for a large part of our operating expenses. Their contributions from $5 on up help us big time. Plus, members get discounts on show tickets and merch and receive Wild and Sublime news before anyone else and more. Interested in helping us spread the message of sex positivity? Go to patreon.com/wildandsublime. Hey, folks. I have long had an interest in tarot since my early teen years, so I was pretty excited to see that our guest today did support groups using tarot as a method for self-reflection. Elise Ruriani is a queer fat femme artist, art therapist, and counselor. We will be talking about her experiences with tarot, how you can practice inner work using tarot, and we will also be doing a practice run with me. Welcome, Elise.
Thank you so much. Hi.
Hi. And before we begin, I want to say that we are on the unceded lands of the Council of Three Fires, the Ojibwe, the Odawa, and the Potawatomi nations. So, Elise, explain for the listener what tarot is in general.
Okay. Big question. When I was thinking about it, I was like, what? How do I describe what tarot is? I'm in no way like a historian, so the kind of like, you know, there's a long history of tarot and lots of legends surrounding it, but essentially it's a deck of cards. There's 78. They're kind of split into the major arcana and the minor arcana, and each of them has kind of a message. Sometimes people call them like a lesson, a secret within them, in the imagery and the meaning of the cards. They originated as like a playing card deck, actually, but then also kind of got used spiritually in a lot of different cultures. And now I think people, you know, use them in ways like I do for self-growth, self-reflection. Some people use them still for like fortune telling, divination type of work. And I think that sometimes is where people get a little nervous about tarot. But I really see them as a tool for that self work.
And there's they come in more than one deck.
Yeah, so there's a ton of decks, and there's a couple different styles of decks. I am most familiar with the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, and ones that are based off of that imagery. There are a couple other ones that I'm not as familiar with, but in all the types of tarot decks, there are various artists and illustrators and people who've kind of taken you know, inspiration and base it off of that, but have expanded on the imagery to make it a bit more relatable too. I think there's some that make it less figural, you know, like not necessarily featuring people the way that Rider-Waite does, and then some that have just made it more modern because it's very like medieval, male centric, all able bodied, thin, you know, all the things.
Yes.
So different decks have come out to be like more inclusive too, which has been really cool, so that you can, you know, relate to the art more.
And so what are your favorites?
So I have some of my favorites here. the one I use the most, I would say, is the Modern Witch Tarot deck. Okay. By Lisa Stirl.
Okay.
It's a lot of like femme presenting people, some, you know, more inclusivity. And I just really like the illustration style and find that I really enjoy the modern updates. So like they'll see like technology in it, like there might be a phone or, you know, like someone's like sitting on their laptop or, you know, things like that. My other favorite, and that one I usually use for myself. Mm-hmm. I tend to like to have that deck as kind of just for my work. And then my second favorite is Queer Tarot by some of my favorite artists, Ash and Chess, who are queer trans folks who what's really cool about their deck is the people in it are actual like queer trans humans that they're modeled after, and it like, has their names and everything in it.
Oh,
and
cool.
There's a lot of inclusivity in body type, you know, in ability, race, you know, gender, all of those things. So I really like that deck and use that one a lot with other people because I find that, you know, that inclusivity also helps with relating to the cards.
Okay.
And then I have this Wild Unknown tarot deck that
oh my gosh
is a bit more abstract. And so it's funny.
This is Kim Kroll, right?
Yes, yeah.
Oh my God, I have her archetypes.
Oh, cool. Yeah, she's a lot of different decks. And that's actually the first one I started using more as an adult. But I think it was good for me to switch to a more figure-based one.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are beautiful, but I think they don't have as much of the symbolism, the traditional symbolism. So sometimes it's easier to start with one that is more based in the traditional. And
yeah.
Then, you know, once you're more used to it, then kind of using the more abstracted. But it's all beautiful art. I'm really drawn to the art.
So how do you, for yourself, your personal practice, how do you use the tarot?
Yeah. I was reflecting on that. I'm like, I think I use it in a lot of different ways. I'd say, like, generally it's used for, like, self-reflection. So I think of it as, like, a practice sort of, like, you know, journaling or meditation or something that you're doing to give yourself space to, like, think about your life or what you're dealing with or how you're feeling. And then the way I use it can vary. I try and do kind of a daily practice. Doesn't always happen with my neurodivergent brain running late to everything. But when I do in the morning, kind of like engaging in that ritual of, you know, I think about, sometimes I'll do the same kind of pulls. Sometimes I'll just do like a daily card pull, like just one, you know, I might think like, what's something to know today or what's something to focus on today? Sometimes I'll do like a three card pull. And there's a lot of different, you know, like, questions or even just words you can use as the basis for that. In addition to kind of the daily, more daily practice ritual type of stuff, I also do it to, I guess, like special events or like things that are, you know, like I might do one for the full moon or the new moon. Like I don't tend to do other moon phases, but those two I do mostly, or for my birthday, or sometimes maybe I'm like, I want to do one for this month or the new year, I always do one. So things like that, sort of marking those sort of time-based rituals. And then also just as like almost a coping skill, you know, if I'm struggling with something, having a big feeling, I might be like, you know what, let me pull out the cards and use them as a way to like engage with the feeling. So
explain, when you say engage with the card, like what do you do then? Because I think, you know, for folks who are more, say, for folks that maybe say, think of the cards in a divinatory aspect, like how would one use it for like inner work?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I've never really used it for a divinatory practice, you know, so I think, but when I think about, you know, how that might be used, like people asking, you know, questions that are like, what's going to happen, you know, I think, you know, using it for self-work, I actually think, to me, and maybe it's just because I do it this way, but I find it more natural, like it's a little easier because, you know, these, what's cool about tarot, and I think is part of why, as an art therapist, I really love them, is because of the art. So it's not only the traditional kind of meanings, but also you're being given an art piece to look at and respond to. And so I think the way to kind of use it for the self-reflection is to look, you know, I pull these cards. I'm looking at what the traditional meaning, you know, I'm looking at, you know, different books or resources online to see, you know, what is out there about the card already, but also using your intuition. Like, what do I see in this card? How does it make me feel?
Like, this reminds me of my grandmother.
Yeah. Like, does it make, bring up a person for you? Does it bring up a feeling? Are you looking at, you're like, ooh, this looks kind of, you know, dark, or this person looks stressed, or, you know, so using, you know, your own intuition and reaction to it. But, you know, when you really think about the cards as, like, you know, these, like, lessons, or as, you know, the major arcana being, like, archetypes and kind of major themes, and then the minor being kind of more day-to-day lessons or life focuses. So just applying those meanings to yourself. So if I'm saying, like, what's something that I should know, and I, you know, I pull a card, I sit with it. I try to, I've been trying to be better about, like, looking at the card first before I go straight to looking it up, because that's
right,
the impulse, right?
You
like pull it, you're like, all right, what does this mean?
Right, I hear you.
But really to work on that intuition piece and sitting with that art piece, it's important to me to be like, okay, let me look at it. What do I feel from it? Then looking up, I've been using this book called Tarot for Change. I should have looked up how to pronounce her name, Jessica Dory, maybe. Mm-hmm. I've been loving this book because it's about using the cards for self-care, self-growth.
Cool.
And it like weaves in psychological concepts, philosophy, mythology, just like things from everywhere she really pulls in that are like about these lessons. And it's sometimes like a little bit of a different take on the cards. And so I really have been enjoying that. But I think just, yeah, applying those lessons, it's less of like, you know, you're answering a question as yes or no, but it's like, it's almost like a journal prompt, like what's something
sure.
to think about, and
right.
I might start writing like, oh, this, so what's something to know? I pull this card. Okay, this card is about, you know, hurt or pain or something, you know, and then I might write about, okay, what comes up for me in relation to this. So in that way, it's that sort of self-reflection as like a tool or a prompt.
So you use, and as I said at the beginning, I came upon your support group your support group around tarot that you do with Rowan Tree Counseling. And what did it look like as a group? What does it look like as a group?
Yeah. So the one that I currently run is actually a therapy group. So it is through like insurance. It is a clinical group. I also have interest in doing more support group type of things because I think there's ways that they can be, you know, they're used a little different as like support versus as therapy. But the way that I use it in the therapy group is a little like, I'd say like, I almost was like, it's a little bit like independent study part and then coming together part. So in the first, you know, I did it once and I'm starting it back up again soon. We would do a spread. So I would come in with a spread that is based on, you know, some sort of topic that is related to mental health, related to that like self-growth. And then everyone will, it's virtual, this group that I've run. So everyone will kind of do that spread themselves, journal about it. Sometimes I would bring in art therapy and we do like an art project. And then we come together and share, you know, what cards did you pull? What sort of things came up for you in response to that? And what was cool is the aspect of it being a group that I like is how they can add to each other's insight. As a therapist with my individual clients, sometimes we use tarot too. If a client is interested in that or that's part of their process and they might pull a card and we, you know, me and that person are talking about it or applying it to their life. But in a group setting, you get to have that peer piece. And so getting to have the insight of other people with different lived experiences or similar ones being like, oh, this makes me think, you know, gives you this like different perspective, which also is, I think, what tarot does. You know, when I'm thinking about something I'm going through, I pull some cards. They prompt you to think about something in a different way. Like, I'm like, oh, maybe I didn't think about this aspect of that issue or this feeling. And so kind of similar to that, like someone might be like, you know, this is how I read this card, and gives you maybe like a little different way of thinking about how it relates to you.
Right.
So that interactive piece, which is in all therapy groups, you know, it's part of the beauty of group work that I think is why, you know, we're always like, I love recommending groups to people because, you know, community is a big thing, big part of our healing, and getting to do that with other people in the room. It's really vulnerable, but it opens up a lot of extra like possibilities.
For sure. I'm also thinking about group intuition, which can be so powerful to like aid in the healing process. You know, for one client to be like, okay, this is the spread I have, and then the group, kind of the group like mind coming in to help.
Yeah, yeah. And over time, you know, the first time I ran the group, it technically was what's called an open group. So people could, you know, it wasn't like you had to join it at the very beginning. You could, you know, join a couple weeks in. It ended up being the same people the whole time. And then I realized, I was like, oh, actually, I want it to be a closed group, because I think that was a really interesting thing to see as it went on, was how people would be then connecting it to things like someone was talking about weeks ago, you know, being like, oh, a couple weeks ago, like, you were talking about the boundaries in this way, and now this card also is about, like, you know, and bringing in those and I was like, oh, that's very cool.
For sure. It's like one of the things I think about, you know, like, I'm in 12-step program, you know, and having worked with sponsors, like, they become sort of the ongoing witness to your life.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, well, you know, this came up like 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, it did.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that happens all, you know, happens all the time in therapy. That's part of, you know, as the therapist, are one of our roles, you know, is kind of retaining some of that and being able to, you know, as like the third party, you know, being able to observe, we might be able to notice some more pattern recognition, or, oh, do you remember, like, this feeling we talked about, you know, however long ago. And in a group, there's just more people who are witnessing, and
right.
more, and, you know, there are different ways we're witnessing, because we're all witnessing each other, you know, through our own lived experience, our own lens. So one person might pick up more on this topic, and someone else might pick up more on this other topic. So it just gives, like, yeah, like a lot more perspective and insight to build.
So how would you use tarot for sexual investigation? For example, like, let's just pull a card, a single card. And like, how, okay, I'm interested in using, taking a card, say, for a sexual issue, like an investigation, say. How would one then work with a card?
Yeah, yeah. Sexual issue, like, do you mean something that, like, someone's struggling with in regards to their sexuality? Or,
yeah, let's say, like, someone might be feeling that they might be queer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they present as heterosexual, and they are beginning to, say, have queer feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
How would one use, say, the tarot to investigate that?
Yeah, yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can use it. Like, one way I'd say is, like, using resources that are out there already. So, you know, I'll go on Instagram, or I'll go on Pinterest or something, and you can look up tarot spread for, and then insert whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you can find really good ones that way, of just, like, tarot spreads for sexuality, or tarot spreads for queerness. And see if some people have, you know, made a spread that resonates with you. You also can, like, do that as inspiration, and then kind of make your own. You know, if you're, like, looking and you're like, okay, it's a 5-card spread. Here are these different questions it has. I don't relate to all of them, or not all of them resonate, but these two do, you know. And so you can also kind of make your own. But I think, you know, the way I kind of do it is think about what you're wanting to – I was going to say what you're wanting to know, but – I also think that can sound kind of like the card's going to tell you, you know, the answer.
Right.
And they're not actually going to tell you the answer, but what's something that you want to I guess investigate is a good word of what's something that you're wanting to know about your internal experience, and this card can help you to reflect on it in a deeper way. So if I, you know, was like thinking about before I knew I was queer, if I was like going to be using tarot to explore that, like I might pull a card first that like represents, you know, sometimes people do a card like that represents you or represents, you know, how you're feeling. And so maybe pulling a card for that.
So let's just grab one card.
Okay. And they probably do have some kind of queer based ones, which is cool about this deck that it is based in queerness. So it has a lot of good questions and in the definitions of the cards they bring in queerness, which is cool.
I'm always excited to see new decks.
Yeah, they're beautiful. I love their art style.
Oh wow. Yeah, oh my gosh. The psychedelic color palette.
Yeah.
Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So want me to pull a card?
Yeah, we'll just do an example of this.
Cool. The Magician.
Oh my God, my favorite card. Oh wow. Okay, yeah. So talk us through the Magician card.
Yeah. So something that, you know, I think is interesting to share and talk about too. When reading cards, I think people can be intimidated by this idea you have to like memorize them all. Like you do not. I mean, you can if you want to. But it's a lot of cards, and you do not have to memorize them. So for me, I've been now doing tarot for a while, and I don't have them all memorized. You know, there's cards that you tend to pull. I might tend to pull a lot of the same cards,
right.
And so there's ones that I'll pull. And I'm like, oh yeah, like I know what this one means. So I still look it up. You know, I still want to engage with it in that way. So the first thing I would do is you know, kind of sit and look at this card, and I notice things about like. Well, the art, like what's in there. Also the figure, like, I might look at, the stance, you know, so this to me looks like an empowered kind of stance. It doesn't, you know, they're not like closed in, that body language kind of standing tall. There's a lot of growth in it. There's a lot of plants. So what I would look at is, you know, first I always go to the guidebook that's in, for the deck that you're using to see how they describe it. And so the Magician is one of the in the major arcana. So those tend to be overarching themes.
Right.
Let's see. So it's interesting of also to think about with this card and thinking about if we're using it as an example for maybe exploring sexuality, is also looking at where it is in the major arcana. So it's the second card, but it's number one because the Fool is the first card of the major arcana, which and is zero. And they often call the major arcana the Fool's journey. So you look at it as like, you know, you're going through this journey from the Fool to the world. So the Magician's very early on in that discovery, which is interesting to think about with if you're kind of questioning like queerness, you know, am I queer? What does this look like? Like that this is literally in the beginning of that journey. And actually, I was pretty spot on with the the interpretations of this is where like the art is helpful. The three keywords that they have in here is confidence, passion, and self-empowerment. And so it's talking about marking the beginning of something beautiful and powerful, thinking about the magic that lies within you. I think about the magic of queerness, you know, so you might think about, okay, how is that magic? How is that queerness, you know, within me? How can I bring it out? They talk about using potential and passion to manifest your goals. That's an interesting thing in this art. All the elements are present. Of tarot, you have the cups, the swords, wands,
these are all the suits. These are all the suits. The sort of the pentacle, the,
and this actually says, so this is where the queerness comes in this guidebook, which I think this would be a great deck for, exploring sexuality because of this. If you're queer or think you might be queer, because they weave it into the description. So it says the magician can also represent the emergence of confidence in your life as a queer person. As part of a marginalized community, confidence and self-empowerment may be harder to come by, since queers often encounter negativity and disapproval of our identities. So it's talking about pride and self-empowerment in that way, and how to access and embrace those things. So I might use this card and think about, okay, what are ways that I can bring that magic, bring that queerness out into my life, you know, out of that just internal world? What communities can I be part of? What ways can I feel empowered to explore that deeper?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When I see this, the first person I think of is Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
I really see her in this figure. It's so fascinating to me. And, you know, holding this, this wand, kind of this phallic instrument of power, and just standing boldly. So mm-hmm. It's interesting how, you know, listening to that, but then I'm looking at my interpretation and you just add your own, weave it in. So let's do, I this is a little high wire for me, folks, but I agreed to, I mean, at least did not force me. I came up with this idea. I am going to do something for myself.
Yeah.
So this is like some real world boots on the ground tarot. Did you know the Wild and Sublime twice monthly newsletter has news, views, and tips about sexuality delivered to your inbox? Plus, info on the latest pod episodes and upcoming live show. How do you get this for yourself? Sign up at wildandsublime.com. I want to do a spread on relationships.
Okay.
Which is basically, I have, you know, come out of a couple of years of really deep trauma work. Mm-hmm. So I feel very different than I did, mm-hmm. say, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And currently without a partner, and okay, totally okay with that.
Yeah.
And but also this kind of question of how to be in a relationship, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. I feel really kind of different about everything.
Yeah.
So how would you approach that with me?
Yeah. So I would think, can I ask you some questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're talking about, like, it sounds like you've learned a lot, changed a lot in doing this self-work, this trauma work, and are wondering now, as you think about, you know, at whatever point when you want to enter a relationship, like what that will look like.
Yeah. Or like what I need to, not look at it myself, but what do I need to be aware of?
Okay.
Maybe awareness.
Yeah. Yeah, so the first thing that came to mind...
Folks, this feels really weird. Go on.
Thank you for the vulnerability. If it also helps, you know, something that I was just talking to my friend about this on my way here, that... you know, there's traditional, like, I don't call myself a tarot reader because I don't really read for other people.
Right.
I feel like I facilitate them reading it.
Sure.
Because
you're an art therapist too.
Yeah, maybe that's the tarot therapist role. Is I'm like, well, I'm not like pulling cards and being like, here's what they mean. Like, I'm like, okay, kind of using those therapy tools I have of like, let me reflect back what you're saying. You know, do I get what you're saying? Let me help you come up, similar as an art therapist, come up with a prompt, come up with, you know, spread, something like that, and then pull in the cards, and then we look at it together, and I'm, you know, what comes up for you, not what my interpretation is. I might add, you know, here's how I'm looking at it, but that it's really helping you to do it. So holding that too, that it's almost like I'm just here facilitating as if you were doing your own tarot spread. Yeah, so one thing I might think about, I think a good amount of cards for a spread is a 3-card spread.
Yeah,
it's not overwhelming. It's not too many.
I agree.
But like a 1-card, you want the relationship between the cards too, which is something that I've developed more as I've done tarot, rather than just looking at them as like these individual of like, how do they relate? So I'd maybe think like, some sort of card, some sort of thing to represent like the changes that have taken place, you know, maybe like a card pull of what are the things I've learned, you know, what is different, you know, now. If it feels helpful to anchor also your, you know, almost kind of using the basis of like a past, present, future type of card pull, you could do like what, you know, a card that is maybe how I previously have been in relationship, what I've learned in my trauma work, how I'd like to be in relationship in the future, sure. you know, or what I'd like sure. to carry with me.
That makes sense.
If something like that resonates, if you don't want, you know, sometimes we don't really want like the past stuff, like you're like, I already know what I was like, you know, you could just do a like, what has changed? What do I want? What's something to remember is something I like what's something to remember on that journey? Or
I would say maybe the past, present, future, just because yeah. it's, you know, pretty straightforward.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great example of how you can, you know, if you ever look up like 3-card spreads, there's like so many. You can put any words,
right,
you know, really.
Right,
you can be
sure.
like, I've been doing my word for the year. I always pick like a word for, you know, for the new year. And my word is nurture. So like, I've been using that actually as a tarot. Like, I'll be like, okay, what other two words? I'll be like, something to know, something to nurture, something to remember, you know, or something like that.
Right.
So you can always just do kind of whatever words. But thinking of past, present, future in relation to this work you've been doing, would you like to pull the cards?
Sure, I'll
yeah.
do that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So shuffle however you want, and just think about, you know, you can, sometimes people like to, I pull them all at once, you know, but you can shuffle in between, whatever process feels good for you.
These are still, are they still relatively new? Or
they are,
do you
they
just,
are pretty
do you just
new.
Kind of, are you very careful with them?
I am a little careful with them, but I'd say these ones are pretty new. I have a set at work that probably is used more.
Oh, you're a double decker.
I am.
Oh
my boss, thankfully, love you, Andy.
Yeah, Andy, we know Andy.
She bought me some tarot stuff to use in the office, so I didn't have
oh
to be like
God.
Carrying it back and forth to,
see, now that
from my apartment.
That would be a great job where you're actually don't have to pay for your tarot.
I was decks. Like, thank you.
Expense report, tarot deck. I love it. Okay, so this is, I'm going to be pulling my past.
Okay.
And now, okay, 1 second. These cards are a little stiff. And then present. And then future. And these are not divinatory. Let me be really clear about
yeah.
this.
Thinking, you know, and if it's helpful for people who maybe get stuck on the divinatory, because that can even happen to me. I can get a little like, what if it is telling me something I don't, you know? You know, you can say something about the past to know, something about the present to know, rather than, you know, wanting it to be divinatory, you know?
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's go through this. So
yeah.
the past, we have a, this one? Okay. I'm looking at the camera. Okay. We've got the Page of Wands.
Mm.
Now, I see the Page of Wands as a supporter person, like someone that supports. And I see like, for me, this is a very like, a lone figure, if you will. It feels very much that you see the pyramids in the background. It's a person with a staff kind of looking off into the distance, like a really cool person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And but alone. So I kind of see myself like even within relationships, I still felt an aloneness for looking at past.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have this association of Page of Wands as a supporter.
Yeah.
Which in some ways to me feels like, well, who's in the center of my life? Is it me or is it or am I a supporter? Like, where's my relationship in my relationships?
Yeah.
Or my relationship to self in my relationships?
Yeah.
That's one of, and also I think it's like, how does this person present as a like wise person, you know, like has it all together. I don't know. There's sort of like, what's
yeah,
the
yeah.
outward face?
Totally. And I think, you know, in the, you know, minor arcana, that, you know, the page is kind of the first of the, can't think of the
court
word,
cards.
Court cards. Thank you. I was like, what's the word? And so there's a little bit of innocence to the page, like a little bit of like you're
okay,
not yet, you know, at the King of Wands, you know, you're kind of
right.
in this I actually, it's funny, I just pulled the Page of Wands today, my daily spread, and in Tarot
oh,
for
wow.
Change
yeah.
She talks about your inner spark, actually. I was talking about like reconnecting to this like childlike enthusiasm. And so it's also made me think, like, I think of trauma work, you know, inner child, inner teen, like, you know, this internal, like, how do we reconnect to our desires? How do we reconnect to, and so I'm also, you know, seeing like not only just a representation of the past, but like the work you've been doing around trauma, around past, how has that allowed you to reconnect to maybe your desire and your things that maybe we get, you know, we get disconnected from as
right
we,
on.
You know, go through life.
Yeah. I'm also thinking, like, who did I engage with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was the level of development of the person that people I was engaging with as
yeah.
well?
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
So, okay. You cool. even have to open up the book.
I know. You've got things memorized more than I do. But I always tell people, I'm like, because I think sometimes people think that that's a barrier. They're like, oh, like it's so much. I'm like, there's so many resources. You can pull a card and look it up. Like, you don't need you don't need to know.
Right. So the second card is the Eight of Wands. Mm. And what we see here is eight wooden wands kind of flying through the air with what could be, it looks like a mountain range in the background, a river.
Mm.
And then we see almost this snaky, ribbony, like abstract picture in the background kind of behind it with little stars.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting because I think traditionally this card is known as like messages flying through the air, mm-hmm. quickly moving situations,
yeah.
which is true.
Yeah.
For
the
me,
present
right,
is very
me right now, but yeah, it's interesting kind of falling into what is my association looking at the card from
yeah.
maybe like an art therapy perspective.
Totally.
Like, what am I seeing here? And in some ways, I'm seeing, because there are these like rods going across the picture, it almost feels like barrier.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah.
Right? It's just like there, it almost seems like there's a barrier here. Yet there's flow in this abstracted image right behind these rods.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's almost like I mean, what I'm looking at here and really getting right now
yeah.
is like, oh, wow, I've done all this work. Yay me. But the flow is beyond this sort of, let's call it self-imposed, like self-imposed barrier.
Yeah.
It's obvious it's moving, right?
Yeah.
And it's obvious you can walk right around it. But at the same time, there's this like, I did this work and for what?
Yeah. I also think it's interesting. I also think it's interesting where a good example of looking at them in, you know, in relation to one another of like, I'm looking upside down, but the movement of like, okay, this Page of Wands, then there's like these wands going, you know,
right,
in this direction
right.
you know, to what, you know, your next part of the future. And it, you know, if we're reflecting on the art, which, you know, I could do a whole other podcast about art therapy and tarot, of the way that they so well intersect, but of using that of, you know, I'm looking at this, like you said, the barrier, and all of them are pretty close together, but there is like a break
yeah,
in between, you know,
there's
like there's a way like to be like, oh, what can fit in? What can fit in there?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's for me, it feels very much like an illusion
yeah.
of a barrier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally. And yeah, like that movement, like you said, the swiftness of change, like it also makes me think that, you know, as we're in that trauma work, we're learning, you know, we're learning things, we're working on ourselves, especially when not in relationship, you know, so it's really, if you're thinking about being this like period of the self-reflection, makes me think that like, if we're thinking of future of like, what's it going to be like as we're moving forward, having to be prepared for change. Like this is making me think like in the present, be prepared for how will things look, you know, things will look different when in relationship, like what will come with me, like what's going to come fast or what's going to, you know,
right.
You know, and it might make me think if there's a lot of movement. It maybe made me think like what will help keep me grounded. Well, like the Page of Wands, the wand is on the ground, you know, it's a very like grounded,
good point.
imagery, and then this is like movement. So it's like, how do I keep that groundedness even as things are shifting and changing?
So let's look at the last one, which of course for many people is an ominous card. It's the Nine of Swords. And so what you have here is you have a woman, at least maybe a femme-presenting person, sitting up in bed, covering their face, and there are nine swords. It looks like it's darkness. It's like there's nine swords behind them, and it looks like waking from a nightmare. And so, you know, it's weird because I'm like, the future, this to me feels like future fears more than... I mean, since we're not working divinatorially.
Yeah.
It's for me, it says like the fear of the memory. You know, waking from the nightmare is sort of like, oh, it's not real. It's so easy to think something's real, but it's not real.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. You've got the book. You've got
the
book.
Well, I pulled out because I think this book is a great tool, especially for... It's not divinatory at all, you know, because it's very focused on self. So I think anytime like a card comes up that I maybe am like, oh, like I'm struggling to not see this as ominous, you know, like of like, but it's not like things are going to be bad, you know, because I don't believe that that's how tarot works. And I feel like this book often helps when I pull cards like that. So I was curious. And I think it also, I think it makes me think about the cards in a lot of different ways. But I was curious what she said about the Nine of Swords. And some of the things that she's talking about, that it kind of feels like I could see it being related to what you're talking about. She brings in acceptance and commitment therapy is what she's actually talking about in this, of this idea of psychological flexibility and diffusion from our thoughts, that we can't stop our internal events. You know, it can't just be like, don't feel that way or don't think that way, but we can learn how to make distance between them and step back. And she's like, diminish the power they have over your behavior. So it's making me think that, like you were saying, of this idea of like the fears, we're going to have fears. We're going to carry our past trauma with us. We're going to carry these things with us into relationship. They don't have to control how we act. Like the ways that maybe you were in relationship before, the ways relationship has harmed you, like, does not mean that's how things will be in the future. You might have the nightmare, you might have the fears, you might have the old thoughts or behaviors, but the way we break those patterns is by making different choices, by you know, it's talking about making spaciousness, and we don't want to shove it away. Like, this is where I think I do a lot of like parts work, and this idea that all of our parts are there to protect us, you know. And so anxiety, we're not like, okay, screw you, anxiety, leave. We're like, okay, thank you for trying to make me aware, thank you for trying to protect me, I'm actually gonna put some space in between this. Which is interesting, I think, of looking at all three of these together, looking at all three of them together, kind of reminds me of what I was saying about this one, of like the flexibility of like change. And so thinking about the ability to put into place the things that you've learned, and the ability to like have compassion for yourself too, as you're putting them into practice. You know, I think about like things I might learn in you know, trauma therapy and personal work. And then as I'm like, okay, I'm in a relationship with people, that's going to activate things. That's going to make me have fears and stuff. How am I going to put in space to make different choices? You know, give myself like, you know, think before you speak or think before you act. Like, that's one of those things I think of in making that space.
Yeah, I'm also noticing that like the center card is an 8 and the final card is a 9. Mm-hmm. And 9 numerologically is typically the end, you know, we're coming up on the end of a cycle.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So are you going to be starting new support groups soon? You said they're online.
Yeah. So I have, right now I have a a tarot therapy group that is getting started. But, you know, part of my interest in groups is it really depends on people's interest. Right. And so I have been interested in maybe doing more of a support group where it's a little, you know, it's not a clinical group, so that it can also be a little broader. But I've been wanting to bring in the art of doing workshops that are exploring the major arcana, and, you know, doing a couple cards at once, and we actually make tarot cards and explore, you know, what they mean for our self-reflection. And so those are workshops I'm wanting to do. Those would be in person, so that you get to use all the art materials we have. But yeah, I'm always looking to do more tarot self-growth related things. And I think there's a lot of great people doing and therapists doing work related to tarot. But yeah, if you're in Chicago, keep an eye out for these workshops.
So you can go to your site, EliseRuiani.com, link in the show notes, or Rowan Tree Counseling.
Yes, yeah, they'll be on those.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much, Elise.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Well, folks, that's it for this week. Have a wondrously pleasurable week. Wild and Sublime is supported in part by our Sublime supporter, Full Color Life Therapy. Therapy for all of you at fullcolorlifetherapy.com. Thank you for listening. Know someone who'd like this episode? Send it to them. You can follow us on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram at Wild and Sublime. And sign up for newsletters at wildandsublime.com. Got feedback or an inquiry? Contact us at info@wildandsublime.com. And we'd love a review or a rating on your podcast player. I'd like to thank our design guru, Jean-François Gervais. Music by David Ben Porat. This episode was produced and edited at the Lincoln Lodge Podcast Studio as part of the Lincoln Lodge Podcast Network.